Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to start the show with one of the greatest soccer players this country has ever produced. It is Kelly O'Hara. But she's here to talk about the film that she executive produced, and it's called Ripe, written and directed by Tusk. And this is now under consideration for the short film category at the 97th Academy Awards. Kelly, welcome to the show, and I'm going to admit something that might sound creepy, but we're such big fans of you here that literally for the last 2 years, the wallpaper on this computer in front of me is you.
That's hilarious. Well, that's quite the jingle you got going on ahead of your show, Rick. I was impressed. Thanks for having me on.
All right, don't worry. We're not stalkers. Let's talk about the film, because it's about two young soccer players, and they meet at a little tournament, and they have that kind of, as you do when you're young, you kind of get little crushes, don't you? Tell me a little bit more, please.
Yeah, so the short is, it's based in Spain, and it is an American who's over there for the summer, and she's playing pickup, ends up playing pickup with some Spanish players that she becomes friends with, but she ultimately ends up breaking her crush's arm, which is, I feel like, the most mortifying thing you can do. You know, when you're a teenager and you have a crush on somebody, you end up injuring them, but through that, they work through, you know, the issue of, hey, you broke my arm, and by the end, they come out and realize that they both have feelings for each other. And I'm not going to give everything away, but it's a beautiful film. And it's, I don't know, it just really evokes a happy emotion, I would say.
Speaking of Spain, isn't it interesting that the World Cup, quote unquote, kiss was you, not anymore? Now it's the infamous Spanish kiss, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say the kiss that I had with my now fiancé is a much better kiss all around.
No doubt. All right, so I always wonder with short films, because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think most people sort of intend for it to be a feature, and then it just like, wait, 14, 20 minutes, whatever is right in the pocket. What was the decision there?
Yeah, so Tusk, which is the writers and directors of this short. It's a creative duo, Carrie Furr and Olivia Mitchell. They wrote the feature, but then thought, you know, we want to make a short that helps to show what this feature can be and almost use it as marketing material for getting financing for the feature. And the short ended up being incredible and was everything that they wanted it to be, everything that we wanted it to be, everyone that was involved. And, yeah, so now we're in the process of financing the feature and getting that ready to be shot next year and hopefully late spring of 2025. And I think that it's a strategy that a lot of filmmakers use. And I think for this specific film and genre, I think it helps because we had so much success with the short. It's won so many awards so far, and it just goes to show that I think that people really love, one, what these creative directors and writers can do, but also what the film is about and, you know, what it, the meaning behind it. So it's been an interesting process. I'm a rookie in this space, but I have enjoyed seeing it become a short, and I'm even more excited for the future.
Now, when you made the last World Cup team and you didn't play a lot, you were one of the savvy vets there going with a lot of kids, Vaco was. And in that penalty shootout, you know, he put you on late to take one. And, you know, Megan kind of laughed after she missed because she's like, I can't believe I missed. And yours was saved as well. But I admire people that step up for their country in those moments. I remember speaking with Chris Wondolowski, who in the World Cup had a ball sitting in front of the net against Belgium and Courtois, and he put it over the bar, and he said, all you can do is just keep playing and you take the good with the bad. But for you, like in that moment, how long did that hurt? And then like just saying, hey, you know what? At least I had the guts to step up for my country.
Yeah, you know, I think that's something that I will take with me for the rest of my life. You know, I'll probably always think about that to some extent. But like you said, the reality is you got to be able and willing to do that. And obviously you hope that when you do, you're the, you know, what you're able to do is convert for your team. I was not, you know, mine hit the post, and it's a tough pill to swallow. Like, but the reality is I've played this game for so long, and or at least I got to. I'm obviously now retired, but you got to take a go with the bat. And as much as I feel very, like, responsible and, you know, guilty for not being able to convert when my team needed it the most, I was able to do it a lot throughout my career. And, you know, you're not able to be perfect in soccer and sport or life in general. And it's just a thing that you gotta be able to handle. And, yeah, it's just part of life and part of being a professional athlete, I guess.
Yes, and you have two World Cup winning medals and an Olympic gold medal as well. So you say retired. What are you retired? 2 or 3 months retired?
Yeah, I'm approximately, you know, from the time that I was hoping to finish the season with my club team, Gotham FC, but the reality is physically I was unable to, and, you know, medically ineligible or ruled ineligible. So that was about mid-September that decision was made. So I guess I'm about 2 months out of full retirement, not playing soccer anymore.
So when you won the Herman at Stanford, and I remember at the time we had FC Gold Pride, which I think that replaced the Cyber Rays, if I'm not mistaken, at the time.
Gold Pride was just the iteration of the Bay Area team for the WPS. I think Cyber Rays was WUSA days, I'm pretty sure.
Right. But where you grew up on the East Coast and all the time you spend in New York, of course, you do have those Bay Area connections with Stanford. And at Stanford, when you look at 57 goals, which is insane, did you ever think sometimes, like late in the game for the national team, you'd say, can you just throw me up front and just let me roam around in the box?
Yes, Rick. That's what I thought every time. I thought, these girls up there, they don't know what they're doing. Let me go show them.
That's not what I meant. It's just like, let me try.
Exactly. No, I obviously had a great career as a forward for my youth and college days and a little bit in, you know, professional soccer. But it got to a point, my whole career was kind of like, listen, you put me where you want to put me and ask me to do what you need me to do, and I'm going to try to do that as best I can. And so that's kind of how I approached every opportunity I got to be on the field.
I swear years ago I saw you in a restaurant in Sacramento, but I left you alone. I do have some class. Does that ring a bell? Were you in a restaurant in San Francisco, in Sacramento?
I don't think I've been in Sacramento since college days.
All right.
That was like,
I'm glad I didn't say anything.
I might have been my doppelganger.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Before we let you go, as I mentioned, getting this film ripe into Tribeca and now being in other film festivals, being considered now for the Oscars, is that kind of surreal that you think, oh, this is a great story, make a great film, and then not only you, but everybody else likes it?
Do you know what's funny, Rick, is that when we, so I've worked on the, I executive produced this film alongside my fiance and my life and business partner, Cameron, and then one of my good friends from college, Luke Anderson. We all three executive produced it, and then obviously Olivia and Carrie wrote and directed it, and the five of us, when Luke brought me and Cameron in on the project, the five of us sat down and Carrie and Olivia gave us their pitch of what they wanted the short to be and ultimately what the feature wanted to be. And I remember getting off the call and Cameron looked at me and she's the creative one of the two of us. And she was like, that's one of the best decks and pitches I've ever received in, you know, in my line of work. And after that, the next call we had to say, you know, we're in, we want to do this with you guys and help you make this project, we spoke about Oscars and winning an Oscar. So it's funny. It's like, it does feel very surreal because it's not something that was ever on my radar. I will say Cameron definitely, as a kid, was like, it would be so cool to win an Oscar. But for me, no. But when we came onto this project, it was something that we wanted to do, and we felt like we could because of the group that we had assembled and what, you know, Carrie and Olivia were going to make. So as it does feel very surreal, but it also feels right because we do know that it's such an incredible and meaningful film, and it has impacted so many people already. And but yes, it is really, really special to be able to see everyone else enjoy it as much as we do.
It won at Tribeca, it won at Provincetown, it won at Frameline. It's called Ripe, a Tusk film, executive produced by our guest Kelly O'Hara, now under consideration for the Academy Awards. Kelly, congratulations on the film and this new part of your
career.
And as always,